All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Dome podcast. All right, we finished recording some big news to cover. We were finished recording, what was it, a couple nights ago? And then, like, immediately after, you got the Dubé scandal hits the waves, the internet waves, the media waves. Then the Lindholm trade. Fuck.
Sheesh.
I was away from my phone for like an hour, and I go, and it's like explosion, dude. Explosion. Let's get into the trade first. Literally coming off the last podcast, we're just freaking out. Sell all these motherfuckers. Lindholm must get traded. Craig pulls it off. It sounds like Tanev was even in the discussion for a bit. So I think that'll be the next domino to fall. You got 10 teams interested. Like, fuck, get it done. But this is exactly the course of action that we're talking about. We don't have to label anything. Don't call it a rebuild if you're not allowed to use the word rebuild. Don't call it whatever you can if you're not allowed to announce to your fan base any sort of vision that involves
getting better for the future.
Selling off, yeah. Planning for the future. If you're not allowed to do that, going to be complete denial. As long as you're making solid management decisions. This is our only fucking barometer from now on. Good management decisions, please. Just no more bad ones. I think it's safe to say you can chalk this up under good management decisions. We'll break it down today. That's your forte. Maybe let's just start with initial reaction. When you see the trade, I'm already emotionally way moved on past Lindholm. This doesn't hurt me one bit. The guy's been checked out. The guy turned down. Thank God. Thank you, Lindholm. Thank you.
He should have a statue built outside the Saddle just for that.
Put his fucking name in the rafters, or put his jersey up in the rafters just for turning down that fucking massive
franchise.
Thank you, Lindholm. And I'm, yep. I'm, fuck. This is what time heals all fucking wounds. Time heals all fucking rivalries. I'm cheering for the Canucks right now.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I was like, oh, sweet.
I don't know if that's a bad thing. Like, we just have not had the animosity with them since Bieksa,
Burrows. We suck too. It kind of always makes it.
Yes, true. When you suck,
a little different when we suck.
But yeah, initial reaction yesterday when all the shit's breaking.
Well, I was really impressed, to be honest, because, like, you know, we were saying, like, get it done, All-Star break, let's go. Like, I mean, I'd been kind of critical of Conroy for maybe pulling the trigger too fast on, like, the Toffoli thing. But I think what you're seeing with him is, like, maybe the opposite of Brad, where Brad was, like, always waited way too fucking long on everything. It was Mr. Patient over here. If you want to call it patience, I call it stupidity. Or yep. Putting things off. Conroy's being able to, like, when things need to get done, he's getting shit done. So the fact he pulled the trigger, didn't mess around. It was just like, bang, done. I like that. I like that a lot. I mean, I was obviously sad to see Lindholm go. Like you said, I'm pretty checked out. So I'm not, like, over here crying myself to sleep. When I saw the Kuzmenko involvement, I was really, I think as a lot of people were, because that's the first kind of, like, return piece that came out. I think my mind went to where a lot of people's mind went. So it was like, fuck, this better not be like a one for one. We're going to try to stay in it competitive move here. So I was wringing my hands over that until the full deal was announced. And I think right off the bat, you look at that and you say the Flames did really well. And I think you're going to look at that in a few years. Oh, yeah, the Flames did really well for a guy who didn't want to sign here, is approaching 30 years old, and not having a good season.
Dude, the guy's half checked out, not having a good season, doesn't mesh anywhere up in the lineup with anybody, on an expiring deal, turned down $70 million to play for your team.
Yeah,
we're lucky to get anything for this fucking guy.
Exactly. That's a huge,
got a fucking haul.
Huge win. Because I think if you're like a Flames fan, and you, like, I think probably you would have got, maybe you would have, you know, if you traded him last year or in the summer, you probably would have got, you know, maybe one of the more blue chip variety prospects. But given the circumstances, this is huge. Given the fact Conroy has now, and again, I was critical of the Toffoli trade and even the return on the Zadorov trade, but the fact you've received futures for three older players who are on expiring deals. That's a huge step up from what we're used to from the Flames management group. Huge step up.
Big time.
The fact you've managed to get what for Lindholm and Zadorov, you've managed to snag a handful of draft picks, a pretty good prospect, and a player who, that's what I think is maybe the most interesting in all of this, is you can flip Kuzmenko possibly for even more, whether it's in the summer or next year or at the deadline next year. So you've just really opened, you've giving yourself a ton of assets. I think what those assets are, or what those become, I'm not too worried about that. The fact that you now have, you've turned three expiring assets into a bunch of shit, which is great.
When you talking about flipping, right? Kuzmenko down the road. Like, I was thinking about this before we jumped on here. just looking back at the whole Lindholm, you know, deal as a whole. That was, where are you at now with this trade? The Brad Tree Living trade, it was Ferland, Hamilton, was it just the two players?
It was Adam Fox as well, who wasn't going to sign.
Ferland, Hamilton, Adam Fox.
So the Flames sent Ferland, Dougie Hamilton, Adam Fox to Carolina for Lindholm and Hanifin.
And what did Carolina get for Adam Fox?
They got a couple second-round picks, I think, or a second and a third.
Is the trade still a wash? Now, if you're looking at the return for Lindholm, because it's kind of like that Gretzky trade tree. Like,
yeah.
That thing went on for like 25 fucking years.
This is how you – this is – thank you, Craig. Asset management. It was like so sad.
Dude, what a concept. Why wouldn't you just let him walk, huh?
Just let him walk, right?
You didn't learn anything from your predecessor? Craig, you let these guys walk for nothing.
That's what it is. Just turning guys who, like, Lindholm was a great Flame. You got the best. That's the other thing. The Flames got the best hockey out of Lindholm. he's ever going to play in his career.
Here's the other thing too. Like, yes, I want you to continue this tangent, but if you do the same thing with Hanifin,
yeah,
exactly. Hanifin's playing the best hockey I've ever seen him. So now, what does this trade look like to you? This trade to Carolina years ago.
Well, I still like Dougie Hamilton, but we got the best hockey out of Lindholm he's ever going to play. So the fact that you can continue this train of assets is huge, because that's how organizations stay successful in the long term. You know, the Flames turning Joe Nieuwendyk to Jerome Iginla. That set them up for a lot of success. The fact that we turned Jerome Iginla into diddly fucking shit that this organization back a lot. The fact we turned Johnny Gaudreau into diddly fucking shit set this organization back a lot. So these are the kind of moves that
We're talking about when we say
that you're talking
good
about
management.
Exactly.
Versus it's not even bad, it's no management.
Yeah, it's just
it's sitting and diddling until guys walk and you're just like, oh, what happened?
Oops.
Time for me to go.
Bye. I'm just gonna slip out the back door here.
Because here's the thing, Hanifin. I mean, what could you get for Hanifin?
You're gonna get
more. You know, you're gonna get. At least,
I think you get more.
Well, it depends if it's a re-sign and trade, right?
If you did a sign and trade with Hanifin, or a trade where the other team can like speak to him before and kind of like work out an extension type thing, I think you're gonna get more for him than you would for Lindholm as a rental, because that's the other part of this that I think that's so impressive for the Flames being able to get what they got. I think Vancouver did very well. I think Lindholm is a perfect fit there, and they didn't give up anything that I think they deemed expendable. It's gonna be a late first. They didn't give up one of their top three prospects. So I think it's more quantity than quality for Vancouver, but the fact the Flames got this for a guy who's essentially a rental is pretty impressive.
And you're not technically allowed to speak to the player about a potential re-sign, are you? Or can that be part of the negotiation
process? I think you can give them permission.
Because, if you're Lindholm, why the fuck would you not want to re-sign in Vancouver? However, how does Vancouver make it work? Lindholm's not going to get the same offer from Vancouver as he got from Calgary.
Unless he goes knocking to Columbus's door and says, hey, I want to play with my old friend.
Like, I have not looked at Vancouver's, you know, books or anything, but...
Well, their big thing is that Pettersson is up at the end of the year.
Yeah, but...
And he's going to be making, if he stays there, insane money.
Okay, yes. And I guess the other question is he a UFA or RFA?
He's an RFA. He's...
Okay. And, you know, like, the way Vancouver's going, I don't see him wanting out of there, especially if they're relevant again and good again. But then the challenge for Vancouver at that point becomes, how can you afford both? So it could very well just be a rental player.
Yeah, so. And you'll probably see how it goes there. And, like, maybe Lindholm goes off and absolutely boosts his value on the open market and wants to go to free agency and see what he can get. I think they're okay cap-wise. Like I said, they need to sign Pettersson. Besser's up in the year after next, but they've got Hughes locked up for a bit. They've got JT Miller locked up for a bit. But I think they could make a Lindholm extension work.
Very interesting. It's funny how many transactions these two teams have done, because how funny would it have been to see Tanev go back the other way?
Yeah.
You already got Zadorov, so now if that was three Flames, because remember when we picked up Tanev and...
Yeah, when we were just picking the Canucks part, we picked up Markstrom. Tanev, Markstrom, I think we had Josh Olivo. There was maybe one other guy we had grabbed.
Wasn't it Stetcher?
Oh, yeah, Troy Stetcher.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like we're getting all the... And they were giving us their ass. Like, oh, it's the fucking...
They're like the Calgary Canucks.
Calgary Canucks. It'd be funny, man, if they get Tanev, we go back the other way. But hey, I think throw in there the absolute slam dunk. This might take the cake out of all things. Trading to a team that potentially has to beat the Oilers in the playoffs.
Absolutely, 100%. That was my first thought. Was like,
They're better. Literally, Craig checks all the fucking boxes on this one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Craig.
Great job, Craig.
If Hannafin, and here's the other thing, like I don't, it's interesting listening to Craig speak. And like you said, well, gee, what a refreshment from boop,
boop. Yeah, he's actually like
carcass and soup
instead of milk. A bunch of weird freaking analogies that make like esoteric nonsense talk that doesn't mean anything. You actually get something insightful,
right? You could like you do a Bradshaw living presser. It's 20 minutes longer. Like, what did he say? I don't know, like, I didn't take one thing away from that. Craig's like 2 minutes. You're like, oh, sweet, awesome.
Yeah,
but Craig looked pretty fucking amped. Eh? He's like, yeah, that was my first time doing this, and you know,
good on big boy. That was a big boy trade.
Good. Like, great. Sure. You don't have to keep everything in secret all the time. Like, what's a big deal? Good. Share your process. That was cool to hear what happened. Vancouver comes in hot.
Yeah.
He already had a list of teams interested in Lindholm that he knew. So what do you do? That's what you do. You call him up and say, look,
yeah,
I'm close to making a deal. It's pretty fucking good. I'm ready to pull the trigger on this. What's your best offer? Are you going to fucking come back with anything? And then at the end of the day, Vancouver had, what do you want?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way of doing business because, you know, if you hold this off to the deadline, maybe you can squeeze out a little bit more from somebody. But I think if you set the price and somebody meets the price, you say, yeah, done deal. Let's go.
Good. Yeah, the timing for me is awesome. Love it.
Timing's great. And Kuzmenko's an interesting guy because, you know, maybe he comes in and the Flames really like him. And he is kind of a Sharon Govich guy where it's like, wow, this guy could actually pop off here for a couple of years. Or maybe it's an investment that you make to pick up other things down the line. So I think 100%. I think that's an interesting, that to me is the most interesting. Cause I think most people, if you would ask most Flames fan, because I thought you'd be able to get a pretty decent return for Lindholm. I think most people, if you had said, okay, you can get a first, a prospect and like two prospects, I think for most people you'd go, yeah, that's a pretty good deal. Brustevich, who's the other kid, Yermo or whatever, and a first and a conditional fourth. I think that alone would have been, yeah, that's pretty good. But when you throw in a guy who isn't just a cap dump, even though he is that in practice and in reality, but a guy who does have some potential to either help your team on the ice or help your team in terms of turning him into more assets. I just think it's a really nice little tidy piece. I think he did very well, Craig. Craig did very well in this trade. Nice little piece of work.
Well, we'll break down each piece coming back. Before I do, I want to ask you, coming back to this original trade, having Lindholm and Hannafin come over from Carolina, if Craig can flip Hannafin, which I don't know if, I still don't think Craig is actively shopping Hannafin as hard as he was Lindholm. Like I just looked at the X app before we jumped on here and Craig was asked, like, when did you kind of see the writing on the wall with Lindholm that you were most likely gonna have to deal him? And he said, well, start of the season, when he turned down our offer. I mean, it's pretty obvious that he wasn't gonna, you know, stay here. So I think with Hannafin, I don't know where he's at. He did not say anything about Lindholm till after the trade. So maybe it's the same situation, yeah, potentially, where he already knows what Hannafin wants to do, but he won't say anything because obviously you want to keep that, you know, you lose your some trade value if other teams know Hannafin wants out. But what were you going to say about, like, what do you think the situation is with Hannafin? He currently shopping him, or
I think from the report I had seen a couple days ago, Elliot Friedman had said that the Flames had told Hannafin they want an answer yes or no after the All-Star break.
Yes, right. By after the All-Star
break. So that's pretty much going to be the deciding factor because all signs point to the Flames wanting to keep him.
And I think maybe this bodes well for Hannafin making a decision of maybe wanting to go. Because, like, here's the thing. It's a domino.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw what happened when Gaudreau left. 2 days later, Chucky's out. It's like, yeah, he says it wasn't a part of your factor. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Everything factors into your decision. The best playmaker this team's ever had.
Leafs. Who, Huberto?
Fox. don't walk.
Oh, Gaudreau. That's right.
Johnny Gaudreau walks. Man. Literally, the heartbeat of the offensive of the offense of this team for what? How many seasons did he play here?
Eight? Decade, eight, nine.
He walks. And why does he walk? What goes into his decision, Michael, of wanting to leave the Calgary Flames? We broke it down. We've talked about it. You're telling me those same factors don't factor into where Tkachuk's headspace is at? So you're looking at the current situation. Lindholm's gone. Somebody brought up a point. I don't know if I was watching it on the TSN or whatever the fuck it was, or if it was just read in an article, somebody post, but Markstrom and Lindholm are tight.
Apparently well, he was a big part of Markstrom coming here, Lindholm was.
Exactly. So if you're Markstrom, and I don't even know, like, Markstrom is one of those kind of outsider potential pieces that hasn't really been discussed too much as like a, oh yeah, no, we're shopping. Teams are interested. We haven't really heard too much about that, right? Has Elliot reported anything on Markstrom?
All we've heard is what we were talking about yesterday or whenever we were on, is that all the Flames have told other teams is that Markstrom doesn't like trade rumors and that the Flames would have to get an absolutely monster offer to even consider talking to him about waiving any movement clause. That's all we've heard. We haven't really heard any team is interested or anything like that.
I just bring up the domino piece because as soon as it becomes apparent, because it's one thing to talk about it, it's one thing for it to be lingering kind of in the background of like, oh yeah, we're probably going to start selling assets. Once it actually happens and Lindholm's not in the dressing room anymore, it, you know, that's when the physical change is palpable to these guys. And then people start thinking much more seriously. Oh, fuck. Like, now Hanifin's like, shit, Lindholm's gone. It's apparent. Yeah. You know, by the end of the season, there's a good chance a couple more key players are also going to be gone. Do I really want to be here, you know, for the next however long? And maybe he does. Like, you know, some of these players, you know, even like Greer, right? Like, some of these players, they have families. They got kids going to school, and their wives are embedded in the community. And they're just like, you know what? It's easier just to stay. Like, I get it. We're not going to compete for Stanley Cup in the next foreseeable future. But everybody's kind of, you know, hardwired differently in that sense as far as players go and, you know, where they want to go and whatnot. So I'm not sure where Hanifin would what he's going to decide, but like, he's already turned down an offer, right? So I don't know. Where do you think Hanifin's headspace is at? And especially, you know, considering a domino just fell and that's making it much more real of where this team's headed.
Well, you've got to think because, you know, what you've heard is that negotiations have kind of been like, okay, we're close, and the Flames lose a few games and it's kind of like, okay, we've cooled off. So I can't imagine if you're Hanifin now, like, oh, we just traded one of our top players for futures and it looks like it's pretty clear where the direction of this team is headed. Why would I want to stick around for that? So I mean, if you're just
unless you're just content with the money and staying,
unless you're good with the money, and I mean,
and the familiarity of already living in the
which
city.
I'd say the money probably for sure would factor in. Like if he got to a really high number, then yeah, money trumps everything. I think the situation in the city maybe less so. He's a guy we've heard is,
dude, money does not trump everything. Look at fucking Gaudreau and fucking.
Yeah, but he left money on the table because he's an idiot.
That's what I mean. Money
trumps everything unless you're Johnny Gaudreau.
Unless your wife is Meredith and
exactly
wants to live in Columbus, go to school.
Because we've heard Hanifin, like, you know, he maybe does want to be like, there's an old select outside of Calgary. There's only a select handful of teams that he would probably want to go to, and it sounds like those are teams probably in the East and in the States. So I would say he's probably just given everything we've heard about how the contract negotiations have gone, where the Flames have been bad and they've cooled off. He's probably leaning more towards not signing, given the direction the Flames have finally kind of shown they're taking.
Well, so, he's part of the old crew that's no longer there. He was.
Well, do you want to sign up? Yeah.
He was here when fucking we still had Giordano.
He's here. court.
Look at the core is
Brody.
Completely gone.
They're all gone. Bennett's gone. Brody's gone. Everybody's gone. So if you're him, like, and you're looking at this and like, hey, this is probably at least two, 3 years of maybe the Flames not being a competitive team. Do you really want to spend?
Well, especially if you're actually in your prime years. Yep. You're in your prime.
He's probably leaning towards, I don't know if I want to be here.
Even if it is about the money, like if it is a sign and trade, then he could have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I can't imagine the Flames would offer him that much more of where he could get elsewhere. Maybe a little bit, but.
And look, I know Craig is. It's interesting watching him. Like you listen to this. His interview, and I know he's always excited and jacked up regardless, but you could tell he's like, oh, yeah, it felt pretty good. Like, that was my first time doing that. You could tell he's feeling the rush and the high of fucking doing a fucking blockbuster deal in the NHL, his first one. And he's probably going to sit there and look back at what he got for it and be like, shit, man, if I could do that one or two more times.
Yeah, you see that, and it's like, wow.
So I kind of look at him in his interview, it's like, shit, man, he's got the bug now.
Yeah, he's realizing the reality set in, and it's like, holy wow, I have
assets here.
Yeah.
That I could cash in on.
It's crazy to think that the Flames, this will be, now that they have Vancouver's first round pick, and again, it's going to be a later round pick, but hey, they could get bounced in the first round, and maybe it's not as late. This is only going to be the second time the Flames ever pick more than once in the first round.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's insane, dude. And wait, what do you mean? There's more firsts on the table, is there not?
Well, apparently that's the holdup. Probably not this year. They wanted... The rumor that was going around is that Tanev had been thrown about in that trade, but the Flames wanted their first in next year's draft as well. And that was kind of like the breaking off point. So the asking price for Tanev has now clearly been set as it starts with a first.
Dude, you have some. Look, on our last podcast, we're sitting here. We're like, okay, yes, you need to ice an NHL roster. I don't think you're concerned about that currently. I mean, you just replaced an NHL player with an NHL player. One thing I sent you yesterday is Kuzmenko has one less point over the last however many games, 100 plus games, as Lindholm. Like, they're like the same player.
Dude, Lindholm has 9 goals this year, and
offensively speaking, I should say, but.
He does play all situations, but he's not been a very effective player this year. So it's not like we're, you know, losing Lindholm in the middle of the 2021-22 season here.
In the last two seasons, Kuzmenko 47 goals, 95 points in 127 games played. That's a 0.75 point per game for Kuzmenko over 127 games. In the same time frame, Lindholm has 31 goals, 96 points. That's 0.74 points per game. So, I mean, if you're looking at just offensive counting stats, Kuzmenko has a little bit more offensive production in that same time period. So, like you said, like you're not losing anything as far as icing an NHL roster next season from this deal. But imagine if Craig does deal Markstrom. Are you comfortable playing Wolf and Vladar next season? Imagine I think Tana is obviously the next. I don't see, like, we ended last when you're like, I don't see how you don't trade Lindholm. I just don't, at this point now, I don't see how
Tana's for sure.
Tana's for sure. The other question mark would be Hanifin and Markstrom. And then we're getting into like, well, why not Coleman then too, right? I don't think Craig is going to go that far down the road, but. If people are knocking on the door, saying, hey, can we have Coleman? This is what we'll give you.
You have to listen.
The timing of this might be in our favor as fans because Craig's going to be able to sit with this. It's not like he did this 2 days before the deadline and he wants to kind of feel it out. Like, he's going to be able to feel good about this for weeks.
Well, I think this definitely another, not that managing, well, you know what? Managing is kind of managing fan expectations. It puts you at ease knowing that they, number one, didn't sign Lindholm to a max term deal, B, have a plan, and C, didn't have to like rush anything. Cause like, I think another add to the list of worries of Flames fans was like, you're going into the trade deadline. It's 12:52 PM Mountain. And you have like four guys and you're like, oh fuck.
That's when you make mistakes and you don't have time to fucking pull off as many deals as you like. And
so getting ahead of the market 100%. In this case, I think was a really good decision.
The other factor, which we haven't mentioned yet, too, is that there was no retention needed on this trade. So that gives Craig more opportunity with future trades to continue to maximize what he can get in return.
Yeah, you still have three full retention slots. I don't think the Flames are going to use all of them, but you know, if a Markstrom trade does happen, you got to feel like retention would be involved.
All right, so coming back to this before we break down each player here. If he does end up trading Hanifin and he does net you more than this Lindholm trade, do we win the Carolina trade? Or does it remain to be seen still? Or are we currently in the lead?
My take always on the Carolina trade was like, well, Carolina went to like two conference finals and made the playoffs like every single year. So who really won the trade at the end of the day when we didn't have any team success? But
so are they far in the lead currently?
They lost Dougie Hamilton in free agency for nothing. Michael Ferland had to retire, and they got a couple second round picks or second and a third for Adam Fox. So if you look currently at what you're left with, then we come out on top. Because they don't really have anything left.
With more potential, it just keeps on giving.
Exactly.
So we'll have to keep an eye on that. All right. Let's talk about Kuzmenko because, like you said, look, if at the beginning, when the reports were starting to come out, it's some people were like, well, that's a one for one. Like, that's
fucking yeah, weird. That's, I think everyone is freaking out about that.
So obviously it's not, but the player itself, when we talked about this comparables over the last 100 plus games between the two players, Lindholm and Kuzmenko, and it's, you know, offensively not much difference there. But I remember last year was his rookie season. He's an older player.
Yeah, they signed him out of the KHL. Yeah.
He was fucking awesome last year. I remember
74 points.
Every time we played them, every time I watched any Vancouver game late in the evening before bed or even on the highlights, it's just like, dude, the guy can score goals. He's got a goal scoring touch. Like, he's skilled. I didn't realize his age. So that's just a factor there, but are NHL seasons more of a grind than KHL seasons? Most likely. So does he have a bit more shelf life than Lindholm? Most likely.
Well, yeah, Lindholm's played a lot of hard minutes and a lot of hockey in the last 4 or 5 years.
So do you get potentially, you know, three potential more years if he does sign longer term, or you keep him around longer of, you know, higher value hockey? There's a potential there. Remains to be unseen, but as a player, dude, I just loved what I saw last season. It's like, dude, this guy's fucking talent there.
Well, yeah, the Canucks fans really like him. Like, he's kind of like a cult like guy there, where it's like,
well, of last season. Wow, yeah. What was the stats last season?
He had 39 goals last year. 39 goals, 74 points
in a rookie year.
Yeah, in his first year in the NHL.
So the sophomore season under Rick Tocchet has not gone well, and that's why he's coming back. I don't know if you know have you heard anything what Canucks fans say the problem is this year?
Well, I think Tocchet maybe, you know, kind of like a Daryl Sutter type guy, pretty hard ass, wants you to play. Like, Bruce Boudreau was there for a while last year, kind of a lot of open, you know.
Brucey boy.
And I think, like, if you look at his underlying numbers from last year, like, I think he probably shouldn't have scored almost 40 goals, like, maybe more in the 20 range. Like, I think he had, like, a 27% shooting percentage, which is pretty crazy. So, he's probably not a 40-goal guy, but he's probably a pretty good offensive player. I don't know what's going on in the power play. like, was he not playing on the power play at all this year? I think from what I had heard, which
not
seems
sure.
odd given his skill set.
Yeah.
So that might be a factor as well. I think he's just like him and Talkett really weren't, you know, seeing eye to eye. Maybe he was playing him on his off wing. And what else did Daryl do to Huberto last year that was so mean? That was really it, wasn't it? Off wing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he told me he was taking a shit or something. I hurt his feelings.
Maybe he just hurt his little feelings. But he's Russian, so he's probably a lot less soft than some guy from Quebec.
Whoa. We might have some French Canadian listeners, bro.
I doubt it.
What do you mean? You've seen nothing yet.
You have not seen nothing yet for the 500th time.
Does Kuzi have what it takes to get Huberto going? Maybe that's what he needs.
Well, listen, like, I think that's a pretty good, you know, I think most people, that's going to be an interesting pairing, like, to see where he plays. I don't know where he's going to play, because obviously now Lindholm gone, you have a huge hole at center ice. I don't know if they're planning on, like, moving Zari there. Maybe you move Sharangovich to center. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where he plays, but, I mean, the natural fit does seem like he's a right-handed sniper. Seems like a pretty natural fit with the best playmaker we've ever had in Jonathan Huberto. He had 14 power play goals last year, Kuzmenko.
Do we have 14 power play goals as a team yet?
I feel like we don't. He has 3 this year only.
I think we have like 12 or 13 power play goals, don't we?
That's pretty embarrassing.
We've been talking about this as, you know, looking at the direction of this team and what Craig was able to get out of New Jersey with in Sharangovich as a player that can score goals now, a potential guy that could pop off. And we've been talking about this concept. I think Craig kind of gets the full spectrum here. Kuzmenko is easily a guy that maybe can return to 30, 35 goal form. If you have Sharangovich on pace for, 35, 38 goals?
He's on pace for 30 right now, for sure. 34, maybe.
If you have two potential 35, 40 goal scorers out of these two trades of guys that are, you know, old and expiring and don't want, you know, it's just like, if Kuzmenko is a guy who, coming from the KHL, you know, he's not as battered, beaten down as these guys that play these grueling seasons in the NHL. If he can pop off for another 3 seasons here, like, maybe he strikes a bit of more magic, a little bit of more gold. Plus, he gets you the first. You get the first pick this draft. And, like, let's talk about this other prospect here. What's his name? The D-man?
Hunter Brustevich. Brucey boy. We can call him Brucey boy. Brustevich. This seems to be the centerpiece. I think this is when you heard this kid was involved in the deal. You were like, oh, thank God. Because it was like, oh, it's going to be Kuzmenko and 1-for-1. Everyone was like, fuck. But then you started hearing that, no, there's some plus coming, and it was a sigh of relief. So I think he's probably the centerpiece of the deal and the piece of the deal most fans who are kind of like into the whole rebuild thing. People are stoked.
People are stoked.
Kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I've he's seen third, a bunch of his highlights.
He's third in all OH. He's 19 years old, so he is an older player playing junior, but he's third in all of, I think he's third in OHL scoring, period. Definitely first in terms of D-men. So the guy is offensively gifted. And I think if you're looking for defensemen, that's something I think you are usually looking for. Because, like, defense is kind of defense, right? Like, unless you're Chris Tanev and you're ordained by God to be, like, one of the best defensive players in the history of the world, you can learn to play solid defense and can play defense within a team setting. Offensively gifted defensemen are very hard to find.
And you can't really teach that.
Yeah, you can't teach skill.
I saw a few of his highlights going around, a little highlight pack. From what I can see, it looks like he can handle the puck similar to how Rasmus Anderson can handle the puck, but he has better skating ability while he's handling it, which, you know, there's way more upside there. It doesn't seem to be as big as Rask, and maybe that's a good thing in this day and age, in this NHL. But just from the small little sample size I've seen, like, yeah, the guy can distribute, and he can move the puck around the ice, and he can carry the puck, not just north south, but looks like east west in the O-zone, and he's got an eye for offensive, you know, finding seams and stuff.
Yeah, he's a good skater, and I mean, right hand shot is a thing the Flames really lack. Like, I think maybe you say, like, you now look at the group of prospect defensemen the Flames have in, like, Jeremy Poirier, the kid Moren they got in this year's draft, and now Rustevich, and it's kind of like, that's a nice little grouping of guys. It's kind of like when they had, like, they had Rass and Shillington, all like those two guys. It was like, those were the guys you were really keeping your eye on, of like, okay, those are two really talented players.
Yep. And Rass has obviously,
yeah,
you know, evolved into a top 4D man.
Right. And you look back on those trades, right, that, you know, back before kind of like Twitter time, where everyone wasn't obsessed with trade stuff. It's like, oh yeah, we get a second round pick, but then that's a trade you look at in like 5 years, like, holy shit, we got Rasmus for that with that second round pick. Great. Yep. Like, that's the kind of thing you're hoping for with this. Like, this could be a steal of a player for Lindholm, who's a rental essentially. The one thing is, I guess he's not signed. So I know some people are like, oh, he's gonna, and he's American. So perhaps a little bit of Adam Fox PTSD plugging the Flames fans right now. But I can't imagine Conroy didn't do some due diligence on that, and he'll make it happen.
Do you see, how do you say his name? Rustevich.
It's like a V instead of a W. Brucey boy, Rustevich.
So does he play in the AHL next season then? Would that be your prediction, or?
Probably.
I mean, if he's already top echelon in the Canadian Hockey League, then you would think that next progression is you could probably get him in the AHL. So, like, I'm just thinking, like, how far
away? Yeah, maybe you're like three to four years away.
Or maybe, like, in 2 years we see him get called up. Like, you've seen all these fucking call ups now, right? Like, maybe
sees some NHL action a lot sooner. I think Rat, like, Anderson and Shillington kind of started coming to the league full time around like age 22, 23. So I think maybe that's kind of your like time frame. Not to compare him to those guys directly, but that's kind of like a recent. Like, I think if you're looking at him in terms of where he fits into the Flames' current like prospect tier list, I think obviously you've got Zari at the top, and Zari and Wolf, and then kind of like everyone else. But he's definitely a top 10. I think he absolutely slides into the top 10 in terms of Flames' prospects.
Sweet. Oh, that's good, man. We need to.
That's what we need. Like, this is exactly what we wanted. We wanted draft picks, and we want skilled young players. This is exactly what everybody who's kind of been on team rebuild has been clamoring
for. And shifting your focus to more of a 3 to 5 year,
yeah,
5 year plan. And this guy would fit into the 3 to 5 year plan. So would the first. Well, maybe the first is a little bit past that, depending on.
A little bit, but I think it's still, like I said, like only the second time ever the Flames will have multiple picks in the first round. The other time being 2013, where Jay Feaster really, really nailed this one. That was the year they had the extra pick from the
Is that Jankowski?
I think Jankowski was the first pick, obviously. But that was the year they had the picks from the Aginla trade too. So they had three picks in round one. Oh no, that was the Monahan. They got Monahan at least.
Okay.
They at least got Monahan. They get Monahan 6 overall, but then they pick Emile Poirier at 22 overall, right before Andrei Burakovsky went. And Shea Theodore went a few picks later.
Well, he shouldn't have spent all his time researching Jankowski. He could have had a better beat on all these other players there.
And then Morgan Klimchuk was the other guy. So let's hope they hit some of these first round picks a little bit. And I trust Conroy's drafting. I think he knows what he's doing. And I think we may be able to add another first round pick based on what you're hearing from Tanev.
You know what I just thought of? When's TJ Ginley going to be available for NHL draft?
TJ Ginley is draft eligible this year.
So, and is he in the central scouting as most likely to get drafted this year?
Yeah, he's probably going to go in the first round.
Because I just thought of this. If he's projected to go in the first round, and we're sitting here as Flames fans, just give us a Ginla. Like, who cares who's before or after him? Do we care? The guy needs to be a Calgary Flame.
It would be a disaster. It would be not a disaster. It would be
if you want to hype up this fan base by getting all nostalgic by bringing back Connery, bringing back Iggy, and fucking draft the next generation of
it would be Jerome a Ginla. Crime against humanity if Tej or an Ginla doesn't end up a Flame. Like, imagine the Oilers pick him or something. This can't happen.
So, I know this is where we think, this is along the lines we think of as Flames fans. That's how we think. But at the same time, in the back of my head, I'm like, yeah, well, it's the fucking Flames. They'll probably fuck it up. But then I just had this thought of like, dude, it's Connery. Has there ever been a bigger Flame, Jerome Ginla fan in the world than Craig Connery? I'm like, dude, there's no way Craig's not going to get Jerome's son. It's going to happen. We need as many first round picks as possible just so we can fucking
absolutely just so we can get him. And it wouldn't even be like, it wouldn't even be a nepotism pick. Like, the kid is absolutely like, he's obviously not one of the upper echelon guys, but he's like, he's ripping it up this year and he's a great player.
Well, you've seen comparables to Jerome's stats at the same age. He's better than his dad already so far.
Dude, Iggy's kids are freaking ripping it up. I saw somebody posted stats today. Both his kids are just monsters. It's crazy, man. It makes me feel so old.
We have to get
Tej. It'd be a crime against humanity. I don't even care if it was, I don't care if there was a better player available. It'd be worth risking.
Well, I would say, is he projected to go late in the first round or mid?
I think maybe kind of mid.
Mid to late?
I haven't looked at the draft rankings recently, but I think, yeah, maybe like mid to late.
If you're mid to late, I don't care if you take him before four or five other players. If it wasn't a Ginla's kid, you would never do that. I think just for nostalgia and hyping up the fan base, and because it's a crime against humanity, he's
getting a little higher up there. I'm just looking at Sportsnet's top 10 right now, and he's higher than I had expected. He's like top 10. Right now, so
holy fuck.
Draft ranking. I'm not sure where he's at in terms of central scouting.
So then you trade down to get him.
Do it. Let's see where he's at. Central scouting. Tej Ginla. Tej Ginla right now in terms of central scouting is ranked 11th in amongst North American skaters.
All right. Well, North American. So once that all pans out, it's probably mid.
Sneak in there, right?
Well, once you get the European players in there,
right in that mid round.
That's where we projected a pick.
Well, right around there. Here's the other thing that, like, I think excites me. Like, the Flames, I think we all think can probably be one of the worst 10 teams in the league this year.
Easy.
If you're looking at even a top 10 pick, not to mention a top, maybe top 6 pick.
Dude, I can see
top
it now.
10 pick.
I can
plus
see it now.
Late round first. Plus, if you can flip Tanev for like a mid to later first round pick, like, fuck yes, it's happening, bro.
Dude, I can see it now. Craig is going to draft Tej Ginla.
If Craig drafts Tej Ginla,
all is forgiven and forgotten. You get a clean slate for another 30 years of my depression.
Seriously.
And depression, anxiety, and angst. I'm in.
That's all you have
to do. I'll get that'll be my next jersey.
Not even thinking twice.
What number does he wear? 12?
He wears 11, I believe, for Kelowna.
Perfect. I don't want another 12 again. I want an 11 again. Let's go. Where does he play?
He plays in Kelowna.
What the fuck am I doing over here in Vernon? Not going to watch him.
Go watch this kid, man.
The hell's the matter with me? I'm going tonight.
It's crazy to me that just like, see, this is all we're asking for. Just like, this is what's so funny is like,
just get me stoked about one trade, again.
One trade, right? Like one sign that you kind of know what you're doing and you have a plan.
One good management.
One decision. Good move. And we're all like, fuck yeah. Go Flames, go. I'm back in for another 20 years.
Yeah. Take my money some more.
Yeah, exactly. Bleed me dry. Spit on me. Call me scum. I don't care. I think the deal, the new arena deal, like what the fees and shit are going to be came out today. And it's like, oh yeah, tickets are going to be ridiculously expensive. And we're like, don't care. We made a decent trade. Plan the parade.
Dude, we have to.
We should put a banner up in the Saddle Dome. Made a good move for once.
First good move.
First good move in 10 years.
2024.
Exactly.
Made a good move. Holy fuck.
Frick, man.
Dude, Connie has to pull a Brian Burke and do whatever the fuck you have to do to get Sedins to get a Gillen.
Yeah, I agree.
What else are you trying to do at this point? Fuck anything else. That's all that matters.
Imagine you trade Markstrom. Well, I mean, I think even trading Tanev and Hanifin would sewer this team pretty bad and drop them into definite top five contention. I just keep thinking about, like, we could also be picking, not only have multiple picks in the first round, but also picking top five, 10. Top six. Like,
fuck. Well, trade Markstrom, then. He's the only fucker that's preventing you.
No team in the league needs a top five pick more than the Calgary Flames.
But then you might not pick again, though.
That's why we need three picks. Or, hey, here's another thing you can do. See, this is another thing about just acquiring assets and managing. Now they could, like, I remember in the Bo Horvat trade, not that I hope the Flames necessarily make a move like this, but the Canucks flipped things they got, or a pick they got in the Bo Horvat trade for Filip Hronek, who's been a really nice ad for them. Like, that's the sort of things you can start doing when you start accruing all these picks. Like, oh, I want to move up to take, I have the Canucks pick and it's 30th overall. There's a player I really want. He's available. I have all these picks. I can trade the first, the third, and the fifth to move up and take this player. So that's why it's so important to just accrue as many assets as you can instead of being Brad and hoarding everything and trading all your draft picks away.
And then getting nothing.
Like that. That's the other, like, yeah, I'm looking at, I was looking at just.
Dude, look at our two best franchise players since Al MacInnis, Theo Fleury.
Yeah, the drafted players.
What did we get for Iginla and Goudreau?
Dude, we got Dick all. Johnny, or obviously Johnny nothing. Iggy turned the Iginla trade tree ended with, where did it end? Because we got Ben Hanowski.
Who the fuck is that?
We got the pick that was Morgan Klimchuk and Kenny Augustino. So yeah, I think the trade tree ended when Morgan Klimchuk retired.
It's fucking pathetic, dude.
Yeah, not great, Bob. But you just look at the fact already that we're gonna have and fuck, too bad we lost that stupid pick in that Monahan trade.
The first?
Yeah.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah.
Third in scoring currently, and if he was on the Flames?
We have currently right now, the Flames have, like, and I can't remember the last time they had, like, all their picks. Because I just thinking about this, looking at, like, 2022, we had three picks. A second, a fifth, and a seventh. 2021, yeah, we had a one and a two and a couple threes. 2020, we had a 1, 2, 3, 3. But it's like every year you look through this. 2019, we didn't have a second.
We got Travis Hanek and Mike Smith.
Yeah, 2018, we didn't have any first, any second, any thirds. 2017, we don't have a second or a third.
What's he supposed to do?
Even in 2015, we don't have a first. Like, we're smack dab in the middle of our rebuild. But it's like you look at right now, we currently hold two firsts, a second, a third, two fourths, a fifth, and a sixth with probably more to come.
Definitely more to come. Well, I think we've made it very clear this is actually something worth to be excited about.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling.
Being excited about the future instead of dreading it. Instead of dreading every day as a Flames fan. And dude, like I said, like fucking Vancouver now has what it takes to beat Edmonton. Not saying they will, but they could beat them.
Yeah, they have a really well-rounded top six. Like, I think Lindholm, obviously he's been really bad this year. We've talked about it at length, but I think he...
Dude, is it weird really well is it weird I'm like jonesing to watch the Canucks play? Fuck.
Well, yeah, Lindholm, like, man, like, you think about the players he's excelled with. Now they have Lindholm
and Zadorov. Imagine they put Elias and Elias together. I mean, we talked about it in the last one. But fuck.
You think about the players he's excelled with, players who can make plays and have the puck a lot. Like,
yeah,
he's going to be good there.
Totally. That's a very skilled offensive team. Okay, what about this other prospect we got?
Mr. Germo, who I know dick all about.
Do you know anything about this guy?
He's a big boy. That's about all I know.
All right. D or forward?
He's a D.
Craig, like, is a D-man, eh?
Yeah, he maybe took that on from Brad. I just wanted the other thing on Brustevich that I just, a few things. I saw Jonathan. I agree. Like, obviously, he's not the Canucks' best prospect, and he's somebody they thought they could pass. And he's a 19-year-old putting up huge numbers in the OHL. But I still think it's not even a risk. It's just kind of a very good gamble for – I don't even want to call it a gamble. It's a very good pickup for the Flames. Byron Bader of Hockey Prospecting had kind of like thrown Rasmus Sandin's development up as kind of a comparable. Jonathan Willis, I believe, of The Athletic said that he had a data set of the draft plus one OHLD from 2005 to 2012, and the comparables for this kid were John Carlson, Ryan Ellis, and Dougie Hamilton. So, like, he's got a lot of upside, which if you're that's all you can ask for in a trade. Get players with upside.
Yep. Sounds like he's destined for the NHL.
Well, he's got what has he got? He's got like 61 assists in like 40 games in the OHL this year.
All right, we don't know much about the other guy, but all right, anything else on this trade as a whole? I know we've touched on what it means. We've touched on the players, what we can expect. Does Calgary win the trade outright, or is it a fair trade?
I think it's
for
a
both?
Very fair. I think on its surface, and it's always hard to tell because, like, you know, in 10 years when it's like if none of these kids work out and Lindholm is a big part of their Stanley Cup, everyone will look back. Ah, oh, fuck, you know. But if these kids, Brustevich is a really good player, like I said, you look back to those the trade that brought us a guy like Rasmus Anderson, huge win. But this seems like a really good hockey deal. Vancouver didn't have to give up anything that they weren't willing to part with to get a player who I like this from Vancouver's perspective because they're pulling the anti-Brad, whereas Brad would have been like, we'll see. They were like, yeah, we need to strike while the iron's hot, get the player we want. We got him. And from a Flames perspective, again, like I think if you had traded Lindholm in the summer or last year, you would have gotten probably a lot more of a sure thing in terms of a blue chip prospect. But given the fact he's a rental, given the mere fact that he's a rental, don't even take into the fact that he's having a really bad season. Great. Pretty good performance. So I think it's a win for, seems like one of the rare times where it is a really win-win.
Interesting. Definite win for the Flames.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've been doing the trade talk thing lots. I don't know if there's anything new. Probably not. Other than the fact that, like you already mentioned, they've said to Hanifin and his camp, we want an answer by the end of the All-Star break. But I think, honestly, man, like you see a guy leave, you're predicting that Hanifin says, yeah, deal me?
I'd be surprised if he didn't.
Well, then shit, man.
I'd be surprised if he's like, yeah, I want to sign. Now Lindholm's gone. I want to sign a And Tanev's going to be gone. I want to sign on for 8 more years. That'd be surprising to me.
Yeah, no. Well, if I'm Hanifin, I'm getting the fuck out.
No, totally.
It's not like I'm going to lose money. You're not going to lose money, man. You're going to get value wherever you go. You want to play on a, you know, a team that's going to contend for the next 3 or 5 years? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You're probably in the States where you're from. If I'm Hanifin, why would you? If I'm Hanifin, I'm.
And
I'm
even the thing is, even if you're not sure, you're like 2 months away from being a UFA, you know?
Right.
Where you can go anywhere you want. So I think committing to the Flames right now at this very moment, I'd be very surprised. But you never know.
Interesting. Unless, no, because it's either if you're Craig Connor, you're saying, look, you either sign with us now or we're trading you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what a concept. Oh, don't take your fucking time, Johnny.
Johnny, it's okay.
Just
forget when I lowballed you a few months ago.
I believe in this group. I believe Johnny would never leave us.
I think the other thing is, too, like, you could probably, if Markstrom isn't traded, I bet a team would take a flyer on Vladar, given how he's playing and how, you know, like, maybe a team like Philly, now that they don't have a goalie, they might be looking for a goalie. So, yeah, we'll see.
Okay, well, that's a good segue.
I can't imagine this last thing on Hanifin. There's tons of teams interested in Hanifin for sure. Whether Hanifin,
you know me, man. I've been a Hanifin anti-supporter since we started this thing, and the guy is fucking good now.
And the thing about Hanifin too is, and again, maybe this is complicated if there's only a few handful of places that he would consider like a sign and trade or consider resigning in, but you'd imagine a guy like Hanifin nets more than a later round pick. Like, if you're talking about picks, like, he's somebody, a team who isn't just at the top of the league is going to be interested in. A lot of teams are going to be interested in him. Like, you even heard, like, oh, Arizona's interested. There's a lot of different interesting fits for Hanifin.
Totally. The cool thing is, like we mentioned, I think Craig's got the itch now.
Oh, yeah. He's got the trade bug.
He's got the trade bug. He's already told Hanifin, make a fucking decision, bro. You're next. This is going to get interesting, dude.
Well, and again, that's what's so encouraging about him. Like, because, again, we sat here and ripped on Maloney and we're like, these dorks, they're not going to, oh, it's the trade. The All-Star break is the inflection point now. Oh, yeah, when's the, and it was like, All-Star break, trade. Like, he did it, right? Like, he kind of, obviously, there was a deadline. He said it. He got to work. Made it happen. That's the most encouraging thing out of all this for me.
Fucking love it. How do you think Brad's feeling watching his Proji getting all this doing a blockbuster? Now Brad's probably got the itch, eh? He's probably feeling
Brad, locked out. Brad's probably dying to pick up who would Brad acquire for us for like a third round pick? Some no name we already lost DeSimone on waiver, so that's out. Brad's just dying to go and get like Derek Forbert. Or somebody.
Yeah, too bad we didn't have any like old six defensemen left.
Yeah, I know. Conroy should have like loaded up on those guys, knowing he could sell them to Brad for a nice little return on trade deadline day.
Too bad Rooney's not.
Rooney's healthy. He's healthy now. Brad's Brad's probably just waiting to get his guy. It'll be so funny to watch the Leafs coverage on deadline day when everyone's like, "Oh, what are they gonna do?" And then it's like he gets like
kept. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see all the fucking, because you know he's not going to change ever. Did you see that clip of when the Leafs were going through their losing skid there and Dangle was losing it?
Oh, and he's like, screaming, Brad. He's
screaming, Brad. I'm like, something, Brad, anything.
That's felt
that for 5 years.
No shit. Matt, that's what 6 months of Brad does to a guy. Imagine freaking 10 years. Why do you think we're this way?
Yeah. What do you think? Fuck, that was funny to watch, man.
We're not crazy for no reason.
It's like, oh, yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, so glad I'm relieved of that feeling. Oh, my God. All right. All right. Yeah, you mentioned Carter Hart and Dubé.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, look, we're not going to speculate about anything. Let it all play out. Dubé's been ass this year, and it's probably a pretty apparent why now. Because you're sitting here like, why is he so fucking bad? Stinks. How do you just forget how to play hockey? But, like, I don't know how this shit works, but I'm sure.
Well.
I'm sure he's been dealing with lawyers all season long, and this probably isn't news to him. That the London police have, what's the wording go? They
have ordered him to surrender.
What does that even mean, surrender?
They go there. Given the trial won't start for a long time, I think you just get like photographed, fingerprinted, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Turn yourself in and like accept the charges that have been laid, I guess. Would be.
But she's still going to plead non-guilty.
Yeah, according to his lawyers, yeah.
And I haven't followed this case because this happened in 2018, right? On the World Junior team. Do you know much about the story?
All I know is from just what some of the TSN reporting has put out. I don't know how much of that is official or has actually been documented. I believe the London Police Service has like a press conference they're doing on Monday, which might lay out some of the more of the details. I don't know. This has been the story itself has kind of been out there for a while, whether or not it was going to turn into like charges being laid. I think, I don't know if anybody expected Dubé to be named, but there was always the possibility.
Because there was a report, I don't know what year it was.
Closer to like Rick Westhead, who's like the TSN guy, he's done most of the reporting on it, I think. He kind of like brought the story back up. There was a report that there was like a settlement.
Between an alleged victim, right? Alleged
victim in Hockey Canada. They kind of maybe tried to make it go away, but then there was some more reporting and London Police Service kind of opened it back up again. And
so now there's charges being filed.
Now there's charges being filed, yeah.
Against these specific, now it's specific players.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, man.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
So what the story is, it was a gangbang or something? A rape?
Yeah. So it was like one player's hotel room, apparently, and multiple players were involved.
Jeez.
Yeah, there's not any real I think official details out there other than that. But pretty fucked up.
That's crazy, man. How does that even happen? It's fucked up.
Alcohol, like, probably.
Yeah, alcohol. I don't know. Are they doing drugs at that age? Like,
oh, they're like
even,
eight.
Like,
they're
even 18, still,
guess, right? Like,
I guess in your young, adult. dumb and top of the world and
drunk, alcohol, out of your mind. And
I don't know. Like, what happened? Like, that's the thing is, you don't know what happened. That's the problem here. It looks fucking terrible. It looks bad. Yeah,
and it'll be like, I know everyone wants it to be resolved, but this will be a really long, drawn out process.
What'd they say? 2000 and
two years before it starts. Who knows what else? That's gonna be a. It's not gonna be a. It's a long haul thing.
If it's going to trial, then you think it'll be, probably won't be public.
I think the trial will be very public, but I guess most of the details will be laid out on Monday. I haven't been following it very much either, other than the past week since Dubé's been charged.
And then if you're a player and you're waiting for trial now, because what is it you're...
I'm not sure. I don't know if they'll be like surrendering their passports and not be able to go anywhere or like...
Yeah, I'm not sure how it works legally.
Type thing. I don't know how it works either. I'm not sure.
And then obviously they're not allowed to play in the NHL, are they?
I very much doubt they'd be allowed to. I'm sure on Monday when like everything's made official, I would imagine the NHL will suspend them. All of them.
The league will do an official suspension.
I'd imagine.
But even though, I guess legally you'd be allowed to go to work if you're.
Yeah, like they'd probably be able to play in leagues other than the NHL.
This is crazy, dude. Yeah, no wonder he sucked all year.
Yeah.
And then I know fans were fucking irate because we'll touch on this. Like, you know, to the Flames put out a statement. So here, I mean, everybody already knows the story, but Dubé takes a mental health leave. This is days before all this news breaks. And I think the fans are disgruntled because you just had Shillington, right? And that was a big ass success story, him coming back from a leave of absence for mental health. And then Dubé takes one. And everybody's like, oh, fuck. You know, they're all rallying behind Dubé. Get well, blah, blah, blah. Hope you can make it. You know, people were attacking me because I said, oh, this is why he sucked all season.
How dare you say that?
You're a fucking asshole. Well, he has sucked. I can't say that he sucked when he sucked just because he's taking a mental health leave. So now it's completely opposite. Now he's the piece of shit, obviously.
Yeah, outrage swings from one side to the other.
Yes, on the flip of a dime.
Sounds like Twitter.
Twitter, God. This is one of those things where they should just nuke the fucking headquarters one day and watch the world's crime.
The world would be so much better without Twitter.
You could do like one of those emotional readings of like the happiness of the world. Like in 2 days, the happiness of the world would go up.
100%.
But regardless, dick move, I guess. Like, so what's the story then? Dubé lied.
I don't know. Nobody really knows.
Nobody knows.
The Flames obviously aren't going to put out a comment on it. Like,
well, the Flames did do a statement. All they said was that we were not aware of the trial or anything with regards to the matter when Dubé asked for his mental leave of absence.
Yeah.
So then who is it? Is it the player saying, look, I need a mental leave of absence?
Well, and there was also reports. I think Emily Kaplan said that the players who, like, because the other ones who took leaves, they were all instructed not to mention anything about the trial, obviously. I don't think anybody's going to be going, yo, I need to. They're not going to be giving details on a legal case.
To their team, yeah.
So, like, I think it's fair to say the Flames weren't aware of this. But, given the circumstances, I feel like it's still a PR disaster.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, there was – people were choked at the organization. When the organization put their statement out, 80% of the people shifted their anger to Dubé as a whole. But there's still people are like, fuck, they don't believe that the Flames wouldn't have known. But I'm not sure that you would have. Like, so much of this, you know what it's like. I watch true crime. And, like, if there's an active investigation, you're not allowed to say shit.
Yeah, and factoring, I don't know, like, Dubé is not allowed to say anything, nor would he. He's not going to incriminate himself in any way. And the Flames can't, like, ask, I'm sure. They're not like, oh, by the way, like, so if he comes and says, I need a mental health leave, I think probably the Flames weren't legally obligated to put out a statement claiming mental health.
Yeah.
But that probably just shows you that they were kind of left in the dark on this situation. The thing that was maybe a bit fumbled to me is, like, they were doing, like there's a, they talked to all the players about it, like, right? Like, they did this kind of little mental health campaign after the fact. And that's like bad. all the players are commenting on Dubé and they're like, yeah, well, when he's ready to talk about it, we'll talk. And Rasmus Anderson is like, yeah, see, this is why people shouldn't be crazy on Twitter, which, like, I agree with, but it's just kind of like, yeah, maybe you should protect your guys. Like, now I'm pretty sure the guys who spoke on the matter now wish they really hadn't. So that was kind of the part of it that I was like, okay,
it's a misplay by Dubé in his camp for sure, but he was the first one to do it. Maybe now he realizes, like, I don't know, like, because the other players just took a leave of absence, right?
Well, and I mean, it could very well be it was because of that. I'm sure he, you know, the threat of going being charged criminally is taking a toll on his mental health, I'm sure. I don't know if, it's a kind of a weird situation.
But it's one of those things, man. Like, if you are guilty, then you deserve you deserve that toll to be taken on. You got
to
go
yeah,
through.
absolutely.
You got to pay the toll for that shit. So I don't know. Like,
it's just a messed up situation to off
it's
the
a
bottom.
Shit
It's
show.
Just like
and I and I
total
think
shit show, and everybody wants somebody to blame, but it's like
but the meme that sums it up for me is like, can we just not
yeah.
good? Can we go a day a week without fucking?
It's like, it's
why
like
does it always have to be
those
us?
Work exactly those workplaces, like the workplace days since a fucking horrible situation. Back
Zero.
To zero. It's always the flames. It's just like always something insane
fuck.
That you could never even conjure up. It's just
oh,
like, what
fuck.
The fuck is going on in Calgary?
Right? Wait, our guys fucking, oh man.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. Like I said, there's always, always two sides to every story. And I mean, you can't jump to any conclusions, but it does not look good. I have zero details about the case and what happened, and zero details about what the players say happened, but he's going to plead not guilty. I know that. So
yeah, they're
see
all,
how this...
so far they've all put out statements. I think other than, I'm not sure.
And then
I know Dubé did, but
I think this is a relevant question. I don't know if you know the answer, but what does this do for the salary cap for the Flames? Like, does he get put on, I guess if you're suspended, if it's
I'd imagine the Flames will be able to terminate the contract. I'm again, that's me totally speculating. I have no actual idea. But we've seen that happen for a lot less than criminal charges. Like Mike Richards, I think, had his contract terminated.
Yeah, there's got to be some clause in the contract somewhere that, look, if you're fucking going to stand trial, because the league's going to, yeah, the league won't have these guys play.
The league, and I'm not sure how much the PA will get involved with any of this. But I think his contract's done at the end of the year anyways. So I don't think it's going to have much of an effect anyways on the Flames cap situation, because a few more months and he won't be on the roster at all.
He's on expiring deal?
Yeah, he's an
RFA, though.
Technically an RFA at the end of the year, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, it doesn't make a difference then.
I don't know if any of them are signed actually beyond this year. I'd have to check, but I know Dubé is not.
Well, because they're all... No, they're not on ELCs, are they? No.
I don't think so.
All right, well, I think that's enough for that. We'll leave that one alone until it starts to play out. I don't like speculating, and I know...
Well, it's a legal case. You can't see it. Yeah, it's like...
Everybody is on the cancel culture, and I know it doesn't
I'd
look
prefer
good.
Not to get sued, personally. I don't know about you.
Yes. All right. The last thing I want to touch on, we're on our All-Star break. And who knows? Like, maybe we'll have another episode here, because another trade will go down, but we'll see what happens. I was watching TSN last night. Marty Biron fucking absolutely nails us out of the park. Because here's the thing. I mean, we talk about the All-Star game, how lame it is now. And maybe it's just one of those things. I loved it as a kid. I loved a skills comp. I loved the All-Star game as a kid. And maybe that's why these leagues still do it, because these kids turn into your next generation of paying customers. And so it helps build the league and sell the league down the road. The fuck is it boring now as an adult? Right? And like, if you want to do the All-Star game, fine. But what Marty Biron was talking about last night, you have these giant 5-day, is this a CBA? I don't know what it is. Every team gets an All-Star break now. So it sounds like half the league is on pause before the break, which we currently are, and half the team is on the pause after the break. So you have all this fucking no hockey happening in this 2-week period, the 2 weeks before the Super Bowl where there's no NFL football.
It's insane.
The MLB is off until spring. The only other professional sport in North America, one of the big ones, I should say, vying for new customers' attention, new product, new eyeballs, especially in the States, is basketball. And the NHL is doing this lame-ass All-Star game with no hockey going on before and after for like 2 weeks. Like, Marty Brown's like, what are you doing? This is when you should have all your marquee matchups scheduled. He's saying scrap the All-Star game altogether.
100%.
This is right now when there's no football on and you have all these Americans looking for sports to watch, this is when you should be doing McDavid versus Matthews, McDavid versus McKinnon, McKinnon versus Matthews, Crosby versus Vetchy. Maybe that one's a little
run. They don't even hype up those matchups anymore. You know,
original like, six matchups, Boston versus New York. These are two relevant good teams right now. Like this should be the biggest marketing push of the season for the NHL. Is this 2 weeks right now where the Super Bowl, once it ends, this is your chance to grab a whole bunch of attention from all these NFL watchers that are going to not be watching NFL until next season in 2 weeks from now. Like you could gain so much momentum and viewership going to the second half of the season when the NHL ramps up even more going into the playoffs. I think it made an excellent point.
Meanwhile, what is the Flames got, or the Flames? What has the NHL got on their social media page? I don't even know. Like the Red Wings and Senators played. Like the other night was the most pathetic night of hockey I've ever. It was like nobody was playing, and I think
no, fucking
the
Seattle Shark, and,
the Sharks. Dude. Yeah, Seattle and the Sharks played to like a shutout game. So nothing. Bad. Nothing's happening. It's just brutal. And then you go on like the NHL's like social media pages, and they're like all the lamest all-star content you could ever. Oh, celebrity coaches for the All-Star game. Like, nobody, do they not know? Obviously, they don't know how to attract. They don't know how to keep their core audience or make their core audience entertained, let alone bring in a new audience. It's just brutal.
What's the, doing 3-on-3 again? Do we know? Do we care?
I think it's 3-on-3. Really don't care. It's 3-on-3. And there's some other thing. And there's like a women's game. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not going to be watching.
It's just so old. It's overdone.
Justin Bieber's going to be there.
Oh, great. Is he going to sing Sorry? Fuck. All right. Let's wrap this thing up. If you got anything else, I don't know, anything else left on this trade or anything else current you want to touch on, or you just want to.
No, I think that's it. I'm ready. Let's. Craig's got the itch. We've got the itch now. Let's. Open the floodgates. Eh?
Dude, if he can do this two or three more times, and like you said, stockpile first round picks this year, we grab TJ Ginla. Like, let's fucking go. The draw across the feed stand to Lindholm.
Second of the night, and the Flames finally have a lead back. Kachuk to Gaudreau over to Lindholm, and he lasers it.
Lindholm and Giordano get the assists on the goal. Here come the Flames again. Landon Fox score! Elias Lindholm has another point, and the Flames have another goal. It's 2-0 Calgary.
Got it down to a science. Johnny Gaudreau sips purple Gatorade, squirts some into Lindholm's mouth. Then it's on to Sean Monahan. This certainly does not guarantee continued success, but in hockey, when you're scoring and winning, you don't change a thing.
There's a long shot. Score! Lindholm! Throw to Lindholm, shoot, scores! And there's 40 on the season for Elias Lindholm. The Flames with a 1-0 lead.
Here's Gaudreau. There's a shot, score! Lindholm, 5 seconds into the power play, makes it 1-0 Calgary.
It's a pass to Lindholm, stopped by Ottinger, took it up high.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.